time, Steve. It's time.
Postseason.
It's time. Not only time for postseason, but it's time for another episode of the Morningside Hoops podcast.
First episode, then postseason.
All right, fine. Kyle Matrician, Steve Merrill. It is the week of Ivy Madness. The Columbia women's basketball team has the number one seed and will be heading to Providence for the Ivy League tournament, which the women's tournament is Friday and Saturday, March 14th and 15th. As many of you know, Columbia will be playing in the semifinal against Penn on Friday at 4:30 p.m. That game is on ESPN Plus. And then following, hopefully, a win over Penn in the semifinals, they will advance to the Ivy League championship game on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. And that game is on ESPNU. Steve, how's it going?
Good. One seed.
One seed.
One seed.
One seed. For the first time in program history, yeah. We're going to sit down here in just a few moments with head coach Megan Griffiths. It's our first time talking to her this season. Really, I'm sure, you know, she always has a lot to say, and she always gives really good input no matter what setting she's in, press conference, interview, yep. You know, she's going to speak her mind. Yeah. So really appreciate coach taking the time today on obviously what is a very busy week to talk to us. But Steve, I know we do have some news this week since this is our basketball podcast.
Yep. So on Monday afternoon, it was announced that head basketball coach, the men's team, Jim Engels, has stepped down after 9 seasons. He stated, "Columbia has meant so much to me, and I've given everything I have to make this program the best it can be. We may not have accomplished our ultimate goals, but I'm proud of the culture we built and the student athletes we developed on and off the court. I also want to thank Peter Pilling for his support throughout the years and know the future of this program is bright." A national search for a replacement is underway, and we should know in the next month or so who's going to be, you know, taking over as head coach. And you know, for me, I work with the men's basketball team, and I just think Jim is such a class person, and you know, a good coach. And it was a pleasure working with him and his staff the last couple of years. And I really appreciate the way, like, his professionalism and just, you know, all around good person to be around. And I wish him and his family all the best.
That's right. We all wish Jim and his family the best. But you know, we'll see what happens here in the next month with the search or so. And, you know.
But stay tuned to GoColumbiaLions.com and the men's basketball social media pages on X and Instagram. And that's where the announcement will be on the lookout for.
Awesome. Well, Steve, thanks for sharing that with us. And we will certainly be on the lookout. We're going to head to a quick break. And when we come back, head coach Megan Griffiths is going to sit down with us and talk some basketball.
We all know what comes with being a fan, the ups, the downs, and everything in between. Share a Coke with a friend. Coca-Cola, the official beverage of the Columbia Lions.
Hockey means the world to me. When you see me on the ice, you'd never know I was born with half a heart. But Dr. Basha and his team at New York Presbyterian re-engineered my heart so the right side does all the pumping. I had 3 surgeries before I turned 3, so I can go all out, especially when I'm on the ice. Half a heart, I'm all heart.
Welcome back. It's our interviews portion of the Morningside Hoops podcast, and graciously joining us today on a very busy week for her and the team is head coach Megan Griffith of the women's basketball team. Coach,
Kyle,
thanks for coming in.
Steve, I am happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. This is exciting time of year, right? This is why you do all the prep. It's Champ Week. It's March Madness. It really begins this week with the Ivy League tournament. Columbia has the number one seed and will play Penn in the semifinals. Being hosted at Brown in Providence, you'll be taking on Penn in the semifinals Friday at 4:30 p.m. And then hopefully all things go well. And the championship game is Saturday at 5:30 p.m. on ESPNU. So let's dive into it. Coach, this is our first time speaking with you this year. You said early in the season to people that I don't think all believed you at the time when you lost Abby Hsu. And you lost some of the players you had lost, that you thought this team could be the best team, the best Columbia basketball team that's ever been here. And I think some people smiled and thought, oh, okay, yeah, we'll see. Well, outright champions for the first time in program history. led by your two seniors, Kitty Henderson and Cecilia Collins, first number one seed in program history. I mean, congratulations to you, first of all, and your staff on all the success. But what is it about this team? Let's start there. That has gotten them to this point.
Extremely mature group of people. It's very rare that you can enter a season with a laser focus on the task at hand. And I give all the credit to Kitty, Cece, and Perry, junior captain Perry Page, because, you know, the minute the season ended last year, they were all ready to kind of turn the page. And, you know, it's like, we have been here. We've had this taste. We know what it's like to go to the NCAA tournament, but there's so much left on the table. And of course, those are hard moments to process as you're going through them. But, you know, that next Monday, it's like back in the weight room, back getting our bodies right. You know, it wasn't like all the things right away. It was just they approached every step with poise and confidence, but also just the right mindset of like, this is what we need to do right now.
Yeah.
So then we finally got the right group together. You know, we get our transfer, we finalize our roster for our first years, and they start coming together during the summertime. You just saw a different level of communication and commitment to what they were doing in those months, and that only tees you up for the year to come. So for us as a staff, we were able to see that all unfolding.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not going to be perfect, but we had all the tools, right, to be this team now.
Was there a moment during the season, whether it be early on in non-conference, where, I mean, to be frank, like, the team was struggling a little bit in the non-conference season, found their footing, got to conference play, really turned it on. But was there a moment either during non-conference or during conference play where you were like, this, like, we have it? Or maybe you don't even feel that way yet. I don't know.
Well, my first tell was early on. You know, you're practicing, it's just you in the gym, and you're like, you start to see people fill roles. And that happened earlier than it ever has this year.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we've had a couple injuries that, you know, set us back in other ways, but which I'll get to in a few minutes or actually shorter than that. But our first scrimmages, I remember we scrimmaged Manhattan College, who is always a very respectable program. I think Heather does a great job there. And we had a really big win, like a dominant win in a scrimmage. And I just had never seen a team of mine do that, regardless of who the opponent was.
Yeah.
And then we scrimmaged UConn the very next week, and we actually won that scrimmage. And I was like, okay, like, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, granted, like, the score wasn't, you know, there's things, there was factors and, you know, all that. And they had injuries, we had injuries. And then we were able to sort of just kind of find our footing slowly. And now we had a stacked schedule, as everybody knows. And we, you know, we were tested early and often. We were on the road a ton. And then we came back from Christmas break. Cecilia Collins had an incident and was out for a few games. And that made me really nervous. I was like, okay, like, we're like, we want to know how good we are. Like, now we're really going to be tested. And, you know, to insert Perry back into our starting lineup with Maria Vlihas, who was, like, young in that new role as a starter. And for us to have, like, a 20-25-point win on the road in just, like, dominating fashion.
At Towson.
At Towson. Yeah. Against, like, you know, an experienced team with size and athleticism, I was like, okay. So then CC comes back, and we're like, we're kind of grooving again.
Yep.
And it was nice to just see that people were stepping up when their number was called.
Yep. And let's get into the All Ivy League Awards. They just came out here on the day that we're recording. I'll just run through the awards real quick. You and your coaching staff were named the Ivy League Coaching Staff of the Year, which is technically a third straight Coach of the Year award for you and your staff, so congratulations on that. Kitty Henderson, the Ivy League Defensive Player of the Year. Just the second Defensive Player of the Year in program history. I'm not sure if you played with Sarah Yee.
Did you?
Okay. What was it like? Tell real quick. Like, what did Sarah do? Because I don't know much about Sarah.
Sarah was small. I mean, way smaller than me, right? So Sarah's like 5'1" and just a shark on the ball.
You know?
And this was in the infancy of the awards. Honestly, I think this is when they first started having Defensive Players of the Year.
Okay.
She was just a menace. Like, she would just hawk you from baseline to baseline, and she, you know, totally wreaked havoc on the ball. Unfortunately, I only played with her for her first year.
That's right, yes.
And so she did not win it in that year.
No.
But took on a much larger role when I graduated, and that was in the era of Judy Lomax.
That's right.
Danielle Brown.
Yep.
Some of these great players that have come through here. And so they were also winning basketball games, which obviously yeah. was a large contributor to
you
that.
Know, yes, Sarah was a two-time uh-huh. Ivy League Defensive Player yes. of the Year in 08-09 and then 09-10, and Judy Lomax was the Player of the Year in 09-10. So they actually Columbia actually swept both of those awards that year, which is good. I mean, really, it was – I mean – of the history of Columbia women's basketball, that was a really great team that they had
absolutely.
In 2009-10 that would have went to an Ivy League tournament if the tournament existed at the time. Mm-hmm. But back to Kitty, Defensive Player of the Year, like really, what is it about Kitty's defense? And if you look at the box score and the season stats, it'll show you the steals. It'll show you, obviously, a lot of offensive numbers too, but the rebounding also plays mm-hmm. into the defense. But really, I think what doesn't show in the box score is just her toughness on the court. Mm-hmm. So, like, talk about that, about Kitty for mm-hmm. a little bit.
She's just a winner, like, in every sense of the word. Yeah. It, and winning has nothing to do with, like, the numbers necessarily. She's just always making the play that you need her to make on both ends of the floor. But, you know, speaking specifically about defense, you know, she's going to get there to the wall up. She's going to get the loose ball. Like, she is the ultimate ball getter in college basketball, in my opinion. You know, she's just diving out of bounds, saving the ball into our teammates' hands. Like, it's not like she's just making wasteless effort plays. She mm-hmm. makes effort plays that show up big time in these games. And, you know, she's just, I mean, she's done that from day one, but now she's doing it in like, almost a expected, but also her teammates are doing it with her. Like, she's just brought people along with her, you know, and she's absolutely the consummate teammate, but just makes the play whenever you need her to.
And then Kitty also unanimous first team all Ivy selection. This is her first team award. She had a second team and an honorable mention her 2 years before that. Riley Weiss, first team all Ivy League as a sophomore. I'm actually going to have to look because I'm not even sure. Maybe she did. I know Abby was all Ivy as a sophomore. I think she was first
second.
Team as a or was
she second
as a sophomore?
Team because we were all really salty about that.
So a first teamer as a sophomore for Riley. I think she's approaching 500 points scored on the year. I mean, it really just feels like last year she kind of hid in Abby's shadow a little bit.
Yep.
And then this year we got halfway through the season and it just clicked at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Riley is, wow, she's such a skilled player. She's been a lot of fun to coach this year because her memory's been short and she's embracing the coaching points. And I think she's also seeing that, oh, if I can do these things, the things that I was being coached on last year that I was maybe a little more averse to changing my pace or even just understanding what that meant and looked like in just the intensity of college basketball, she has now allowed herself to, like, give into that some and accept the process. And, you know, she's come from a place in programs in the past where she's really been the best player. And to then come in and be around all these great players, including an Abby Hsu, a Kitty Henderson, a CeCe Collins, she's understood like how to make her mark amongst them and not
yeah.
just wait her turn, which I do think last year, for any first year, is hard to do when you come into a team like this.
Yeah, and really, from my standpoint, it just really feels like she's cracked out of a shell personality-wise.
Totally.
Like, you know, today, for instance, she's doing something with the university on camera, and you really see, like, she's kind of, like, turned a little bubbly. Like, and people know her that way personally, but
totally.
In a public setting, you know, it just kind of feels like she's cracked out of that shell in more ways than one. CeCe Collins, second team all Ivy League, which, you know, we all have our thoughts and feelings about. But talk about a tough kid. She has actually been an all-conference, not even honorable mention. She has been all-conference all four of her collegiate seasons, 2 years in the Patriot League, and now 2 years in the Ivy League. Second team every time, but still an all-conference selection. I mean, talk about CeCe. Like, I just feel like mm-hmm. her and Kitty are just the heart and soul of this team.
Absolutely. CeCe is just a do-it-all. You know, one of our alums jokes that they call her MacGyver. Like, she just literally can, like, fix anything, do anything, solve any problem. She's like a Swiss Army knife out there for you. She can literally play in any spot from point guard to five.
Yeah.
Defend, you know, one through five and make every pass you need her to make. You know, she was also an Ivy League Player of the Year. She's had a triple-double in her career.
That's right.
You know, she should be on the first team. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to say that out loud.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to hear that. you know, but now I just told her to go win the MVP of the tournament. So,
that's right.
But, you know, again, another selfless human, but just the ultimate competitor. You know, I think that's something with her and Kitty, and the major difference between the two of them is Kitty's like a competitor, and just like the intensity just fires within her, whereas CeCe has this like amount of joy tacked on top of that.
Yeah.
And that's just who she is as a person. You know, like, I think Kitty's a little bit more of a serious human, and like CeCe's a more of a playful, joking human, and that's what I love about their personalities is it's, you know, you're getting both of that, and you're getting the passion they both have for this place alongside of a goofy Riley Weiss, right, and a stoic Susanna Raffio, and a super intense Perry Page.
Oh, man. So. Perry gets me pumped up pregame with those. I don't know. I mean, we will have Perry back next year to give us that pregame hype, the circle up after the starting lineup introduction. But I need that. Every game pumps me up. I walk back to the scores table. I'm like, all right, I'm ready, Perry. Thank you. And then one more note on the All-Ivy League Awards. Kitty and Riley, just the second set of first-team All-Ivy teammates here at Columbia. The first set being Abby Shue and Caitlin Davis 2 years ago when they were both first-team All-Ivy League. So congratulations to you and all of the All-Ivy League honorees. But now let's switch gears to the Ivy League tournament. You guys, as we said, have Penn on Friday at 4:30 p.m. in the 1-versus-4 game. You guys haven't played Penn in a while.
It's been a long time. January 25th.
You had a 15-point win at Penn, which was the first Ivy League game of the year, and really, I think you will agree, like the team hadn't hit its stride yet. You guys have really hit your stride, I think, through the end of January and through February here. You kind of came back, had a good response in the second half of that game at Penn to win by 15, and then took care of business more or less here at home on January 25th with a 25-point win. But delve into the semifinal matchup a little bit for us. What is it that you're focusing on this week with the team about Penn? What does Penn do well, and what do you think you have to do to win that game?
Mm-hmm. Well, one, I think Mike is a great coach, and I've always thought that. I've known him since I was in high school, and they have a good system. I think he puts his players in the best positions based on their personnel. And then, you know, they're going to change up things defensively. They're going to make you think. They're going to sag off you if they don't think you can shoot it or they don't want to shoot it. They're gonna play some zone. They're going to press you. They're going to face guard you a little bit. So he's – and I think his big thing is just, like, making you guess. Like, what am I going to do next, right? And, you know, I've been coaching against Mike for a while to know that. But they also have some really talented scorers, obviously, Estina Almquist and – you have Katie Collins, Rookie of the Year, who, you know, has really started to blossom as more of an extended face-up threat as well, and not just interior. And, you know, their guard play, you know, their young guard play is dynamic. And so, you know, it's really about knowing what they're going to do and sticking to our game plan. I think that's where our primary focus has been this week, is we know who they are. Yes, we played them a while ago. They have the same challenge when they look at us.
Yeah.
So what can we do to make sure we take them out of their rhythm, but we're not playing chaotic? And that's just prep leading to the championship game, honestly.
Yeah. And you touched on it a little bit, but my follow-up question was going to be, what does Penn do to, like, hurt teams? Mm-hmm. Like, what's something, like, and maybe this is a Coach McLaughlin staple because he's been there for a while, but maybe it's just unique to the team this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that they're going to find what is your, like, weakness. And even if they don't, it's not the thing maybe they came in thinking they were going to exploit. He's going to find it and then just, like, keep doing it, right? So... it's not like, you know, they're going to have this huge playbook or they're just going to put their players in the best positions and make you guard them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've got speedy guard play and they're way more of a perimeter oriented team. You know, they don't have these like trees that he's had in the past, honestly.
Yeah.
Rim protectors, right?
Yeah.
And so they're going to space you out and it's just going to look a little bit different because there's not, you know, one dominant interior threat.
Yeah. Yeah, that team has definitely evolved, I think, in the time that you've been here to now.
Oh, definitely.
Because I remember some of those players, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like a Michelle Wilquette.
Wilquette,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Sydney Stepanovic.
Yeah,
she was in the early days. And then Aaliyah Parker.
Yes,
even
there
Floor Tunders last year. You know, those players have been hallmarks of his program, and they just don't have one of them this year.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then hopefully, transitioning a little bit, things go well Friday. You get to sit and watch Harvard and Princeton play each other at 7:30 and make it to the championship game on Saturday against either Harvard or Princeton. Talk about the strength of this league. People have seen it in all whatever bracketology you look at. I think Columbia, Harvard, and Princeton are all being considered on all fronts. ESPN, CBS, Her Hoop Stats, New York Times, The Athletic, it's pretty consistent that all three teams are very much in the conversation. All three teams and some of these are in the field. Talk about the strength of the league this year at the top predominantly.
Well, you know, with the new metric tool we have is the net, right? We've always had RPI, there's strength of schedule, there's other things that people look at. I think analytics has really brought to light women's basketball strengths and weaknesses with the numbers, you know, and that's not always something we've had to highlight the best teams in the country. And I think, you know, you look at the net tool, you look at her hoop stats, and, and the reason, you know, Harvard's defense has been so good, and the reason X, Y, and Z is, you know, not just strength of schedule, but who they played and how those teams were doing, and then, you know, neutral home sites, away, like all the quads.
Quads now this year,
right? So it's the game has changed quite a lot when you when you're thinking about putting your schedule together, and I just want to like tip my hat to those two coaches as well because they are doing what we're doing, you know, and you're seeing the rest of our league start to do that too. So I would say 1 through 8, the league is understanding what position we need to put ourselves in, and you know, credit to the two other staffs for having put together a great resume this year.
Yeah,
and also, you know, I would say, you know, Princeton having lost their best player and to put themselves in this position, you know, like that's really unique, you know. But you know, again, like you want your teams to be playing their best basketball at this time of the year. So it's just good to see that we're getting stronger and we're going in that and growing in that direction as a league. To have three in the top 50, it's unprecedented. It's never been done before here.
And I think you saw some teams this year outside of the top three that, to your point, did schedule well.
Totally. Brown is one of them.
Brown
for sure.
is one of them. I think things could have gone a little differently for Brown this year if they didn't have some of the situations with injuries and what have you on their team. They could have been that fourth seed in the very easily.
Definitely. I mean, they were right to the last game. They were in the conversation.
Came down to the net on Sunday. So, big question. What's it, you know, this team, this program has had a lot of firsts. And one of the firsts that they haven't had yet is winning that Ivy League tournament. So what is it going to take on Saturday to overcome that hurdle and not have to sweat out Selection Sunday?
Oh, isn't that exciting?
although it did make for a great reaction, I got to say. You guys were the talk of the Selection
that
Show reaction.
That is very, very, very
just
accurate.
How you want it to be done.
One and done. I'm good with that. Yeah. <it's>, But I would say that, you know, we know what we've done and how we've achieved connection up until this point within the program. And we had a long conversation about the last 2 days before practice. Like, we've done the work to be here. And it's not about something new. There's going to be adjustments here and there, and that's part of the plan. But can we keep clear heads going into this weekend? And can we, in the moment, make plays and respond elitely to the play that would just happen? Turnover, shot, whatever it is, and not get caught up in the moment. Because when we do that, when any team does that, you lose possessions. I think it's going to be the teams that execute the most possessions and keep, you know, we call them blue heads, you know, not redheads. If we can keep our blue heads this weekend, I think we put ourselves in a great position.
Yeah. You know, the first time, real quick, an aside, the first time Kitty said that in a press conference and I was transcribing the quote, I don't have the best headphones when I'm doing this, and I thought I'm like, is she saying blue heads? And then I was like, I think she must be saying cool heads. I don't know. But cool heads, blue heads means kind of the same thing. Like not losing your mind out there and not, you know, staying composed. Because obviously in a 40-minute basketball game, things aren't going to go your way the entire time.
Yeah, and there's human error. That's the big thing, too. You know, cool really just means, or blue means, like, confident, clear-minded, poised, you know, clear decision-making versus erratic, chaotic, rush decisions, selfish decisions.
Yeah, and it's good branding.
Absolutely. That's what Kitty calls it, Columbia Blueheads. Columbia Blueheads.
Steve, well, I'm going to open the floor to you.
I
know,
I
kind of went.
Question. I was waiting for the get over the hump question.
Oh, yeah.
I got to ask. But I was just going to ask, is there something that feels different, like going into this Ivy Madison previous years? You know, you guys are you're playing the 1-4 game. You've been like in the 2-3 game. But like, just is there anything that just feels different? I mean, each season is different. So going into this weekend.
Absolutely. Everything is just slower, you know, like for me, for them, you know, Kitty's been in this position now for 4 years as the only player that has, but everybody else on our team, Perry, Susie, they've been in for this is their third year. Cece, this is her second. Riley, this is her second, right? All of our sophomores, but my staff, my entire staff, this is like our, as a staff, this is our fourth year together going through it. So we've just been here before, you know, it's not new. There's nothing new about this being in this position outside of being the one seed, but the rhythm of what this week looks and feels like, it feels very like at home. I feel very at home right now being like, okay, like this is what we have to do. You know, I know my timeline. I know what we need to do organizationally and from a scout standpoint. So, again, it just feels like it's happening slower, which is, I think, always a good sign.
And Kyle, you know, rattled off the all Ivy stuff earlier, but and asked you about the players, but your staff, like just how important is it to have them by your side. You know, you have the continuity of your staff.
For sure.
You don't talk about the continuity of players and staying.
Yep.
But your staff, you know, especially Tyler's been with you
yep.
since the start. Just how important have they been to you and the program's yep. success?
Absolutely instrumental. It's there's no way we get here without consistency in messaging, consistency in people, especially Tyler. You know, like she's been with me for now. This is our 13th or 14th year coaching together. I mean, I just lose track now. They just all kind of blend. We'll hit 15 and I'll remember. But she is, you know, everything in terms of being a great teammate that I would need as a head coach. She has my back no matter what. She's going to tell me when I'm right or wrong. She's going to support me. She's going to love me and just fill the holes, you know. And she's been our recruiting coordinator as well of the program this whole time. So we're clearly doing something right. You know, when her and I sit down together and talk about to people about this place, it's so genuine and authentic. I think that that's hard to replicate in other places. And then you bring in the mix a Cy Leopold, who I knew since she was in high school, an Ivy League alum, a lot of common connections there. Coach Allie Bassetti, who is Coach Tyler's wife. You know, this is family. And, you know, I've known Allie for over 10 years now. It's really special when you can get a group of people together that believe in the same thing, of the same value system. And we've been able to create this culture together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, going back to your previous question for a second, when you asked, like, what feels different about this year, I mean, for me, there's a lot of things that I've seen and felt this year where it just feels more composed. Mm-hmm. It just feels calmer. It just feels almost like more professional in
yep.
a way, in terms of the game at Princeton, right?
Yes.
Where Princeton goes on their run, and then there was, like you said, keeping the blue head, like staying composed. Even when you won the Ivy League here this past Saturday, that celebration, there was no getting pushed to overtime by Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that wasn't going to happen. You could tell from the players in practice all week that wasn't going to, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was, and it just felt like going into the day and going through the game that it was just a very professional win.
Totally.
It was a professional celebration, like a good celebration,
yeah.
And, you know, and it just, that. So do you feel that too?
Definitely.
Yeah. Where,
yeah.
yeah.
I think we have been very intentional with the growth, and I talk about this a lot, but we just haven't skipped steps here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you when you build something the right way, you go through like all of the experiences. And I just feel like we've been pushed to all these different limits. And you know, we've lost at the times that feel the heaviest. And you win at the times that might feel like the biggest and happiest. And to have that range of emotions with a team and then be able to attack something and see very clearly where you're at is, I guess, somewhat newer for us, right? But at the same time, to your point, it is more professional. Like it just feels like we're playing our best basketball right now, which is what every team's goal is in
March.
Right.
That's right. That's right. Well, absolutely. Coach, appreciate the time. Appreciate you coming in today.
Definitely.
Good luck at the Ivy League tournament this weekend. We'll see you there.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Coach.
And that is going to do it for our Ivy Madness special of the Morningside Hoops podcast. Once again, we want to thank Coach Griffith for taking the time to join us. Steve, I know you're not coming with us this weekend, but I know you will have your eyes on the games.
I will be following very closely,
yes.
Kyle. You know what? I might not even watch the game. I'm just going to follow your coverage because you do such a great job. I might just be so locked into your coverage. How's that
Steve,
sound?
Steve, I'm just going to say thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, I appreciate what you're saying, and I you, Steve,
mm-hmm.
and I you.
But you're saying I should just watch the game.
You should probably watch the game,
okay,
yeah.
yeah.
That would be
yeah,
way
I'll
better.
Yeah, I'll probably do
that. Yeah, that would be way better.
Sounds good.
That's going to do it for this week's episode of the Morningside Hoops podcast. You make sure you're watching eyes locked on Columbia women's basketball in the Ivy League tournament. And things go well, Selection Sunday. Sunday, March 16th at 8 p.m. on ESPN. Hopefully Columbia 2 years in a row looking for a second straight NCAA tournament bid. But, Steve, hopefully we're not sweating it out this year. Hopefully they're the AQ and we can invite people and have a big party.
yeah. and not have as many nerves throughout the
yeah.
room.
yes. This is the Morningside Hoops podcast. That's Steve Merrill. I'm Kyle Matrician. You can catch this podcast on all the major platforms, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, wherever you catch your podcasts. Just search for Columbia Athletics and Morningside Hoops. Until next time.
Embrace the madness and go Lions.